Hey neighbor, today's episode is Mallory Brown. She was a roommate of my little sister, so that is how I connected with her. She is a twin mom to identical 5-month-old twin boys and a 3-year-old boy. We talk about her fertility journey and why she was still surprised when she found out she was expecting twins, the hard adjustment for her toddler becoming a big brother, and what she's doing to take care of herself. I'd really love to hear what you think of the podcast. So if you would leave a review and rate the podcast, I would love that. Plus, it helps the podcast be more searchable so that more people are able to find the podcast. I would appreciate it. Thanks. Hey, I'm Amber, mom to boy-girl twins plus 3 other girls. My oldest was in kindergarten when baby 5 came along. I have a lot of kids and a lot of practice parenting them, but when I have a question, I turn to an expert, another mom. I believe the best advice comes from moms in the trenches, living it day in and day out. So sit back as I ask the real experts, moms like you, all the advice you asked for, and some you didn't. This is Neighborhood Twin Mom. Welcome to the neighborhood. Mallory Brown is my guest today. She is an IVF warrior, NICU survivor, and boy mom to 3. She has a 3-year-old singleton, and you guessed it, identical twin boys who are 5.5 months old. I'm really grateful that she's here today and super impressed at young moms who have twins and all the time that she's giving up to be on the show. So thank you for being here, Mallory.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me how you are doing. Your twins are little. Tell me honestly, how are you doing?
You know, most days I'm doing pretty good, I would say. There are days that are really hard and I don't know how I make it, but for the most part, I would say that the hardest part is definitely like entertaining my 3-year-old. He is my hardest part. Having 2 babies, 2 newborns, they're actually pretty chill. You know, I feel lucky that they're pretty easy babies, but you know, they're not crawling yet. I can set them on the floor. I can set them down for a minute, but it's my 3-year-old, like entertaining him, finding things for him to do. That's my hardest part of the day for sure.
So what do you do? Does he still nap? Your 3-year-old?
He doesn't. He does like a short quiet time, but he doesn't nap anymore. It was like right when the babies came that he stopped napping, of course.
Yep. That was my 3-year-old.
I know. I feel like they like know. They're like, ooh, I need to push her buttons or something. He does like a 20-minute quiet time, but that's not even long, you know, when the day is starting at 6 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Right. Yeah. So he's not adjusting very well.
No,
he's not. No. So what are you doing to help him with that?
I have no shame in telling people this. I bought a parenting course because I felt like I needed help with helping him. I didn't know how to help him. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you've ever heard of Big Little Feelings.
Maybe.
On Instagram. But yeah, I just bought their toddler course and it helped so much. So just really letting him feel his feelings is my main thing. Like he's mad about this adjustment. He, you know, mom's attention is taken away. He was my little buddy. Like we did everything together. We played every single day. We went somewhere every single day because I like to get out of the house. And so we did fun things all the time. And so it was a huge adjustment for him. And especially I think going into winter, like I had the babies in October.
Yeah.
And then it was like winter. So it was just a lot of like me, him and the babies inside all day long. I also really just try and focus on like giving him one-on-one time. And I'm lucky because the babies take pretty decent naps. So they'll, you know, at least give us like a couple windows here and there where we can like have that one-on-one time. And yeah, sometimes I have to make dinner or do these other things, but most of the time I just set the timer and I go, and I'm like, okay, it's mom and Beau special playtime. We have 20 minutes. And then that way he knows when the timer goes off, I, you know, either have to go finish laundry, finish dinner, whatever it may be. Or sometimes it's going and getting the babies, you know, when they wake up from their nap.
That's awesome that you've been able to recognize that. Let's back up a hot second and talk about how you found out you were pregnant with twins.
Okay.
Okay. So you did IVF. You did IVF for Bo, your 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
So, and then I wanted them to be a little bit closer together. So I actually was like, I had heard people say, oh, you know, sometimes you just need to do IVF to kind of get your system going.
Like, yeah.
Then we kind of tried on our own for about a year before we went back in to do IVF. So anyway, that's why, like, they're about 3 years apart. We went back into the fertility center. We placed one embryo. So with my 3-year-old, we placed one embryo. And then with the now twins, we placed one embryo. We were not expecting to hear that news. So with a fertility center, you usually go in for like blood work at like 2 weeks, 4 weeks, and then you have an ultrasound at like 6 weeks. So got my blood work, you know, found out I was pregnant. I was super happy. And then my numbers were increasing. So it was good. You know, the pregnancy was doing well. The doctors didn't really say anything about my blood work numbers. You know, they were just like, okay, it's looking good. We had just gone on a trip to Arizona to see my family. And then we got back. And the next day we had our ultrasound and we go in and they were just like, calm as can be. They just said, oh, and there's two heartbeats. And we were like, what?
They probably thought you planted two embryos. Did they realize that you had only done one?
Well, I think the tech that was helping us at that moment, I think she did think that, but then she realized that they were, yes.
Identical. Yes.
So identical. Yeah. So there are just ways that you can tell that they're identical. And so then she was like,
were they mono di or mono, like they share the same sac and same placenta?
They were mono di, so okay. Separate sacs and same placenta, yeah. So
then you were there with your husband. He got to be in the appointment with you?
Luckily, yes, but Bo was not there. Yeah, at that time, the fertility clinic was not letting kids go in. But yeah, my husband was able to be there. And thank goodness he was, because he was so excited. And I think I was just like, I can't do this. Like, one, I think as the woman, obviously you think about the pregnancy, you think about, I mean, automatically I'm thinking about the labor and delivery. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I can't do this. But he was so excited. So that really helped me, because then I was able to just kind of just be excited that day. Like, okay, we can do this. And this is kind of crazy, but Adam, my husband, actually wanted me to place two embryos. And he was just like, I just felt like it was always Bo and the twins. Like, that's just Bo and the twins. Like, that's just what he thought. So when he asked me to place two embryos, I was just like, no, I don't think my body can handle that. So it was really funny, because obviously I look over at him and I'm just like, you jinxed us. Obviously I wouldn't have it any other way now, but at the time I was just like, what? So,
well, it can be so overwhelming, especially a lot of twin moms who do IVF, they place more than one embryo, so they expect it, but mm-hmm. you're split, so you were not expecting it.
Not at all.
How was your pregnancy?
Pretty typical. Yeah. I definitely started to feel pretty uncomfortable about 30 weeks. But other than that, like, I felt really blessed. Like, I felt pretty good. I was able to move and do the things that I wanted to do and chase my toddler around, you know, most of.
So no bed rest.
Nope. No concerns either. Like, I know sometimes people have like preeclampsia or high blood pressure or something just because of the added everything going right on, but no concerns or anything. So it was pretty good.
But then your twins came early.
Yeah. I'm a pretty avid gym goer. So I got home from the gym and didn't do anything crazy, you know, nothing abnormal that day. And I got home and I was just like standing on my kitchen floor. And I actually heard it before I actually felt it, which is so bizarre. Because you're like, wait, like, where did that come from? Like, what? What? Did someone spill water? Like, I don't know. Then when I realized it was me, I was like, okay. So I like walked into the bathroom and my husband and my toddler are right there. I'm just like, I'm going to go into the bathroom. And it just kept coming. And I was like, okay, this is my water breaking. Like, all right.
Did your water break with Beau, your oldest?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So this is a new feeling. So your water breaks, then I imagine you race to the hospital.
I didn't race to the hospital.
Okay.
So this might have to be edited. So people don't hardcore judge me. I
had my twins at home. Did you know that?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So
there's no judgment here. There's no judgment here.
Yeah, I was just trying to let my body go into labor on its own. I was so hopeful of that. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get some rest tonight. It was about 6 p.m. when my water broke. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get some rest. See if I feel any contractions going in the morning. That's kind of, I think, you know, your body. Like, yeah. And I think I knew they weren't coming to like that night. So I wasn't too concerned, but definitely headed in. Yeah. The next day, didn't feel any contractions that night. So I just kind of knew like, oh, I'm probably going to need some Pitocin to get my labor going. I was really hopeful to not have a C-section, which is absolutely fine for anyone who does. I was just hoping not to. I had just kind of prepared for a natural birth. I wanted to be able to do my part and do what I had prepared to do, but obviously whatever the babies needed to be safe too. So we got into the hospital and everything was looking good. Like, they were looking good. No concerns with their heart rates or, you know, mine, nothing. So they got me on Pitocin and I was, I think, on Pitocin for about 5 hours. So not too long.
So they weren't concerned that did they give you steroid shots? Were they concerned that they were early? Cause this, you were like, what, 34, 35 weeks?
34. Yeah.
Okay. So not too early.
They did. They gave me, yes. So they did give me a steroid shot. Just one, I think, because of time.
Yeah. You have to have to wait a certain amount of hours between. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah.
So then the labor just went pretty well. You had both of them vaginally. Were they both head down?
They were both head down. So that was another reason I wasn't too concerned that like I wasn't going to be able to push them out vaginally. My doctor was not at the hospital at that time because their office is actually just right upstairs. So in that hospital. So my doctor wasn't there. So an on-call doctor came in and he was like, okay, so, you know, I recommend getting an epidural now so that you're ready for C-section when the time comes. And I was just like, you're not my doctor. Like, can I see my doctor, please? And I knew my doctor was heading in. Like, they had already told me that he was heading in. So I was just like, I just kind of nodded and said okay to that doctor. But
so they were okay with you delivering without an epidural? Your doctor?
My doctor. We were on the same page. We had talked about all the things that I had wanted beforehand. So I just wanted to be able to labor as much as I could on my own without the epidural, but he definitely recommended it towards the end, getting it just in case I would need a C-section, you know, an emergency C-section. So he finally got there and towards the end of my labor. And actually my blood pressure spiked. My nurse, which she was awesome. She had kind of left us to do our thing, like my husband and I, and I was bouncing on my ball and just doing my thing. And so she would just come in and check my blood pressure every, I don't know, probably every half hour or so. She came in and she was like, okay, so your blood pressure is pretty high and it's to the point where I need to do something about this. We need to fix your blood pressure. So she's like, I can put you on magnesium, which is going to make you feel like you have the flu and like you're going to feel like you want to sleep, or an epidural. She's like, an epidural will bring your blood pressure down. So when I like told my mom about it, this is kind of how I worded it. I was like, it's like you're running a marathon and someone's like, hop in the car. I'll take you to the end. Because I had labored for so long without the epidural.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, like not only do I need the epidural, but obviously at that point when my contractions are so hard and 2 minutes apart and like you want the epidural.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went ahead and like, or she gave my husband and I a second to talk about it, but she's like, you literally have like a second to talk about it because we just need to do something. I went ahead, went with the epidural, and they came in, the anesthesiologist came in super fast and he was awesome. I mean, I don't think I could have asked for a more like patient anesthesiologist because I just felt like as I'm laying there, I'm like contracting so hard that he was just very patient with me as like he was trying to give the epidural. And she had checked me right before and I was at an 8. And so I was pretty far along. And I mean, I got the epidural and basically it was time to go. So they did take me into the OR to deliver just in case, even though they thought everything was going to be fine. I think that's pretty much protocol with twins, from what I understand. So they took me in and I started pushing. Baby A like came right out. I mean, seriously, it was so fast. And then baby B, his cord prolapsed. And so it started coming out. And so my doctor, I could tell he looked a little frazzled for a second, put the cord back in the best he could. But he said, okay, I'm going to need to move you over to the next table and open you up and do a C-section. And I just like looked at him and I trusted him so much. Like I really liked my doctor and I was just like, okay, even though that was not ideal and not what I wanted, I was just like, all right, like you have to do what you have to do. Obviously I'm not saying it that calmly because I'm pushing babies out. But then he just like looked at me and he was like, actually, can you give me like some really good pushes? And I was like, yes. So then I pushed baby B out as fast as I could. They're like 3 minutes apart because I just like pushed him out and just wanted to get him there safely. And yeah, so then afterwards, my doctor was like, that was the right thing to do because you got him out faster than I could have if I would have opened you up. So it was intense, but it was all good. And then, yeah, they were early. Everything was looking pretty good. I got to hold each of them for like 1 second and then they got passed over to the NICU. So
how long were they in the NICU?
They were there for 3 weeks, which okay. was hard.
Hard.
Were your twins in the NICU?
No, they were born at like almost, they were 39 weeks.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. So I haven't experienced NICU, but I don't think pretty much any amount of NICU, I think there's lots of trauma that goes with NICU, no matter how long or short your stay is.
Yes, I totally agree. Just that, like your heartache, just as you leave your babies, no one wants to leave their babies after you have them.
Yeah. Was there concern? I know after Bo was born, they found out that, I forget what it's called. After Bo was born, they found out that something with your...
My placenta.
Yeah. The placenta was like deteriorating, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because that actually can happen again in pregnancies. Like if that has happened to you once, it can happen again. It was super nice. I think just the fact that they were twins, because then I was already being monitored so closely throughout my pregnancy and like going to maternal fetal medicine and things like that, where they could really monitor the flow of the placenta to each baby, you know, but that did not happen with this placenta.
Well, they were born early. So that's probably a blessing, even though they had to go to the NICU. All right. So you are a new mom, new twin mom. What has surprised you most about having twins so far?
I think people are going to hate me for this response. I honestly thought it was going to be harder.
Okay.
Than it is. With the twins themselves.
Yeah.
I think having other children or, you know, other things to take care of makes the situation harder.
Yeah.
But I think actually, like, twins themselves, it's just, it's so cool to me. Like,
oh, that's so fair. I don't feel like there's a certain way you're supposed to feel. I think that's great.
Thank you. Thank you. So I think that is what has surprised me the most. I think I was, like, terrified of what my life was going to be like. And yes, I'm absolutely exhausted every day, but I think I'm just so surprised at having two babies at the same time is just fun and cool. So.
Yeah, definitely. What do you look forward to most with the twins?
I think just watching their bond and their relationship grow, because even just as, like, they've gotten, you know, they're only 5 months, but just as they've gotten a little bit older, I just, like, watch them bond, and it's the cutest thing in the world to me and so special, but also their bond with their brother too. So just kind of watching their relationship grow as they get older.
Because they're identical twins, do you have fears about anything? I feel like identical twin Definitely. Moms and fraternal twin moms are different.
Totally. Yeah. Something that my husband and I talk about a lot is just, like, how can we focus on each of them, like, individually? And I mean, I love the fact that my toddler calls them baby guys, but that's, we seriously refer to them as the baby guys all the time. And I'm like, they're not even going to know their names. Like, we are calling them by their names and looking at Brady and then looking at Brooks. So it's like, they don't just think they're like, hey guys, like, hey, just always, you know, grouped together, which they will be. Like, I'm sure throughout their life, they will be grouped together a lot, but it's like, I think that something that we fear is just that they won't feel like an individual, because they are so different. Like, I already see their different, like, personalities, and I just want to be able to focus on those things.
What are you doing for yourself as a new mom? Nothing.
Oh, I know. I'm like, a shower. No, that's not true. So I do really enjoy going to the gym. So I go to the gym once a week, Saturday mornings, and that is, like, my morning. Like, I look forward to it, and it's so nice to be able to feel like myself, kind of. And I try and get together with friends about once a month. I feel like that's kind of doable for me right now, because I think at the end of the day, I am just pretty tired, and it's like, getting together with someone is just exhausting for me. But I know that it's important to have those other connections outside of the home. And then I think just as the four of us, like my toddler and my twins and I, we get out maybe once a day. Like, we try and go somewhere once a day. So now that the weather is getting a little bit better here in Utah, it's like, even if that's just a walk, like, even if it's just going to the park, that to me is like doing something for me. Because Definitely. Sometimes the babies cry when you go out. Sometimes it's not their favorite thing. Or sometimes my toddler throws a tantrum. But for me, it's still worth it. Just like getting out of the house and feeling just normal.
Definitely. I think that people focus, when you talk about doing something for yourself, people focus a lot on, you know, like painting your nails or doing a facial. But for me, like, getting out of the house, that is something for myself for sure too. You have always been really big into fitness. Has it been hard to carry babies and carry twins and have your body change so much? And how have you dealt with a changing body?
Yeah, I definitely, that is something really tricky, because this pregnancy obviously was very different than my first. even though I only carried 34 weeks, it was, my body was at its max for sure. Just giving myself that grace, just knowing that this is like a season and I'll get back there someday. Like it won't be now. And it probably won't be for the rest of this year. I breastfeed the twins, and anytime I do work out, like I feel like I have to make up in calories for it and to not lower my supply. So it's like, I just know that right now it's like, I cannot be this fitness guru because I would rather feed my babies. And so it's like, that's the choice that I'm making every day, you know, instead of like looking at my body and being like sad or mad or whatever. It's like, okay, this body is feeding my babies. And that is what I focus on. I mean, it's definitely not easy. Like, I feel like I definitely have my moments where like I put on something that I used to wear and it's like, oh, that doesn't fit the same or whatever. So it's not like I'm always positive and happy about it. It just is something I try and focus on.
All right, Limmy, with your best twin advice, twin mom advice. You seasoned mama, twin mama 5 months.
No, I'm like, I feel silly giving any advice. I feel like for me, asking for help, that is so, so difficult for me to ask for help. And I'm still not great at it. But the outpouring of people that come to your aid because you have twins, like, I feel like it was night and day. When I had my first, yeah, you get some meals from some people, which is so nice. This was different. Like, people look at you like you are a super human being. Like, so they just want to help you and they just want to be there for you. And it's lasted for months, you know? And I think before, the me before would have been like, oh, I'm good. Like, I don't need anything, but I do need help and I do need that from people. So I've just,
what has been helpful when people help you?
Definitely help with Beau. So definitely play dates or someone to come and take him somewhere fun, like just outside of the house. So usually I would just kind of have some things in the back of my mind. So if someone said, hey, let me know how I can help you, or let me know if you need anything. And then I would say, oh yeah, like actually, Beau would really love a play date this next week if that works for you, or something like that, which is so out of my comfort zone, but it was so needed. Like, he was struggling so bad in that first little bit, still is, but you know, he really just needed that attention from someone else that I couldn't give him. And so even if it was just a friend, just someone that he could go play with for an hour or two, and then he would come back happier. And then I would be like refreshed. Sometimes I would get a shower while he was gone, or sometimes, I don't know, I would just get something done while he was gone. And it was just really nice. So, and that's still ongoing. I feel like I still have people asking me and offering help. Meals are always helpful, I feel like, if someone wants to bring a meal. But other than that, I'm not super good about like letting someone like come clean my house, or I wish I was better about that, but I'm not.
I'm not. Know your limits, Mallory. All right. Well, thank you so much for this interview. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to hang out some more, you can follow me on Instagram at @neighborhoodtwinmom. If you want more info on what we talked about in this episode or a transcription of the audio, head to neighborhoodtwinmom.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating and review. This helps other people be able to find the podcast. Music for this episode was composed by Cameron Norby. Find more of his work on YouTube. So your water breaks, then I imagine you race to the hospital.
I didn't race to the hospital.
Okay.
So.